Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is our pleasure to hear from Dave Reardon today. Dave has been a part of our church for a number of years now, and we first met Dave when he led one of our youth camps. He came to preach at one of our youth camps down in Wilson's Prom. Wasn't that a... I'm wrong. It wasn't Wilson's Prom. Don Bosco, where's that? Rye. It was in Rye. And it was a, Dave, it was a cold camp. I remember that. But I remember you. And Dave, we say Dave wrote the book on youth ministry. He literally wrote a book on youth ministry and has been doing great things with youth for so long. He currently runs the Youth Alive Academy here in Victoria. And it is our pleasure to know him and have him as part of our church. So can we welcome Dave Reardon as he comes to share the word with us this morning? Come on, Dave. It is great to have you here.
Thanks, Pastor Andy. Who loves Pastor Andy? Excellent. Good choice. Very good. Yes, it's great to be here. My family's here somewhere. Hi, fam. Lost them this morning because we came in separate cars and it was a downpour. So I thought, oh, anything could happen. But anyway, they're here. That's good news, isn't it? Thanks, Andy. Maybe, but that's okay. No. Oh, maybe just put it in the middle a little bit more. Yeah, okay. You know, have you ever seen one of those incredible services where somebody, they have a painting, they do a painting as, you've all seen that? Who's excited? Not happening this morning. That would have been great though, Andy. Could we get somebody next week who could do a painting? Oh, yeah, Nick. No, what we have this morning is a dartboard. So I'm going to hang that up right there. Look at that. And kids, now I know there's kids. Give us a wave if you're a kid, 12 or under. Who loves our kids? Big round of applause for the kids. They are awesome. They've got their mouth full of lollipop right now. But for kids, I know coming to big church is sometimes a challenge. And so I have brought illustrations for you today. And I'm hoping that you will enjoy this. And then at the end of it, for the best behaved kid, I'm going to give this brand new dartboard. Because nothing says good parenting like small children and sharp objects. So don't even ask your parents because they will say no. I'm going to pick someone out of the crowd, and if you're lucky, it'll be you. Have I got three? One, two, three. There we go. All right. So now you might ask why I've got a dartboard here today. When I was a kid, I used to play darts quite a lot. Are there any dart men here? Any? That doesn't mean you're a smoker. It means you play darts. Anyone who, right? Who's played darts? All right, let's get some common ground here. Okay, great. So you know the general principle. If you get the sharp thing and you throw it at the board, and if you're lucky, where are you supposed to hit on the dartboard? Anyone? Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, we all want to hit a bullseye, right? Is that right? We like the biggest thrill as a kid was when I'd go over my I get confused. Because we call them Wallen Sex, because then it was Arnie Sexton. Anyway, so that's strange. But Uncle Wall, we'd go over Uncle Wall's place and we would throw the darts. And of course, the biggest thrill is when you hit the bullseye. So exciting. That's all you do. And I would spend years, hour after hour, trying to hit the bullseye. And then later on in life, I realized that there was somewhere better than a bullseye. Do you know what it is? Triple 20. And if you get it three times, what do you shout? Oh, that's weak. Come on, folks. Have you never watched darts on TV? You know, on darts on TV, the commentators actually, like, they, it's almost their signature move. It's the cork in the ocean kind of Bruce McAvaney moment is when somebody hits three triple 20s, that little one there. So you get, 40 for that one, 20 for that one. and 60 for that. And 3 times 20 is 180. And the crowd goes nuts. So what I'm going to do this morning, because the kids are with us and because we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, what I want us to do right now is on the count of three, I am going to get you to put your best British Cockney accent on, and I'm going to shout, I'm going to get you to shout at the top of your voice at home in Russia right now. You do this as well. I am going to get you to shout 180. So, Seth, here we go. Three. Don't wimp out. Don't go, well, we don't really participate around. Oh, none of that. None of that nonsense. Listen, I went to the footy last weekend. Miserable, awful, horrible game of footy for my team. The best thing about going to the footy last week was making my son laugh as I gave very positive and encouraging comments to the crowd, to the umpires. I knew I was just entertaining myself. So I know you got, and you were there. You've been to the footy. You've got to your whatever it is. You shout around. So here we're in church. We're going to do a bit of shouting around. You ready? So on the count of three, 180. Three, two, one. Oh, someone held the last note. I love it. 180. So good. So I'm going to get some kids to do it. So who wants to throw a dart? Anyone want to throw a dart? Anyone? It's going to take a bit of oomph here. Maddie, you better get up here, mate. Come on. Put your hands together, Maddie. You better get up here. It's a good throw. All right, there you go. No, well, we actually want to hit something. So this is where we're going to... Whatever he hits, I'm going to preach out of this morning. So here we go. All right, well, you missed the mark. Is there... It missed the mark, right? Okay, so go again. All right, 16. Okay, I can preach out of that. Hit me again. Oh, gee, that was close. All right, thank you very much, Maddie. I'm going to preach out of that. It's great. So why don't you turn with me to, what have we got? Verse 16. What did I say? Oh, what was it? Eight. Okay, so verse 8. Let's go with Luke Chapter 5, we might hit there. Let's go first of all, just a little bit early at the start of Luke. Let's throw it on the screen. There we go. Look at that, 3 to 8. Very good. Okay, so it says we got Jesus. Jesus got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Jesus, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. I know what I'm doing. I'm the captain of this boat, and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets begin to break. All of that's pretty good. We're coming up to verse 8 in just a second. Thank you, Matt. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, if you're an underliner, underline this in your Bible. If you're not underlining the Bible next to you, then Simon Peter saw this. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." So we're going to preach out of verse 8 tonight. Thank you. This morning, Pastor Matt. So interestingly, the word sin, when Simon Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord," like his initial response was, "I am a sinful man." Like Jesus hadn't called him out on any sins. It's really interesting in our lives. And you can see almost the whole gospel in this passage where Jesus, God, the Son of God, presents himself in a situation. He turns up to a situation. So Peter didn't go looking for him. He turned up to where he was. And in our lives, sometimes people say, "Oh, I'm thinking about going and finding God. I might go to Bali, go find God in Bali. I'm going to find Bintang in Bali, and I'm going to find God." And people go, "Well, I'm going to go find God here. I'm going to go find God there. I'm looking here. I've been reading all these crazy websites. I'm looking for God." God is right where you are. There's a principle at operation throughout the Bible. We're going to look at a couple of passages here where we see that God is where you are. And you just need to stop and recognize him. So the first thing that happens is that God rocks up to where Peter is. The second thing that happens is that God proves that he is God. Now, in different situations, that means different things. But in this situation, for a fisherman, it meant fish. The captain of the boat said, "There's no fish tonight." And Jesus says, "Have another go." Suddenly there's fish. Now understand this, that Jesus at no point pointed to Peter and said, "Peter, I know what you, I got bionic ears. I heard what you were saying out there. Your language is foul. You swear like a sailor." At no point did he say that. At no point did Jesus point him out and say, "Listen, I know the way you were looking at some of those girls on the beach as you were pulling in the nets. I know what was going on in your mind." He didn't do that. He says, "Peter, I know that you get on the source after a big night of fishing." He didn't say any of that. He said, "Peter, throw out your nets. Do what you do. I'm here." And Peter's response, everyone say response. Peter's response was immediate confession. He says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Peter recognized his own sin, and then Jesus said, "You beauty, come follow me." Jesus didn't give him a checklist. He didn't say, "Okay, well now listen, clean up your language, clean up your thought life, clean up your drinking, clean up this, clean up that, clean up." He said, "All right, you're one of my crew, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men." Have you heard that passage before? Interesting, in that verse that Matt picked for us, it says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The word sin is this. Actually, it's this too, and it's this. The word sin, in its original meaning, is miss the mark. And in life, every time that you don't hit a bullseye in your behavior, in your spirituality, in your walk with God, in your marriage, in your kids, has anyone not hit a, like you've missed the mark? Anyone? Yes, yeah, 6 of us. Wow. When we miss the mark, that's sin. When we don't measure up to the best, the blueprint that God has, the dreams that God has for our life, we're sinning. We're mucking up here. We're messing up. And that's what that is right there. That's missing the mark. I love what Peter did. When he had a spiritual revelation, there was a physical response. There was a practical response. When Peter had this moment when he went, "Oh my gosh, oh my God, oh my God." When he had this moment, he did something practical with it. He didn't go, "Wow, that was sick. That was amazing. How good was that? How cool is Jesus? Now I'm going back. Just going back to doing what I'm doing." He had a physical response to a spiritual revelation. And that's a great challenge for us as we go along. Now, maybe you're new in the faith and you go, "Okay, cool, I know exactly what I need to do. I've got to change that about me, change that." But for the rest of us, maybe some people have been here for 50 years, 60 years, there still needs to be a physical response, a practical response to a spiritual revelation. Otherwise, we're in danger. Come with me. Actually, I want to show you a great video. Oh, man, I love this clip. It's about 3 minutes long. I hope you don't mind. Kids, you're going to enjoy this as well. Watch this one really carefully. I was just going to read the scripture to you, but this is perfect. I might read it to you afterwards. This is about what the passage called the calling of Levi. It could be the calling of Matthew. Matthew was actually his Greek name. Levi was his Hebrew name. So it's the same person. But watch this clip. It's just brilliant.
All taxes must be paid in full. Thank you.
Beautiful, hey. Oh, man, so good. It says in Luke 5:27, it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, or Matthew, sitting in the tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him. There was a spiritual revelation and a physical response. We see it again. Jesus didn't name his sins. He didn't say you're a collaborator. He didn't say you're a thief. He didn't say you're guilty of graft. He didn't say you're guilty of bribery. He didn't say you're ripping off my chosen people. He just called his name, and there was a physical response to a spiritual revelation. And then beyond that, the same as when Peter had a physical response of following Jesus to a spiritual revelation that he was the Son of God, there was a practical outcome that he followed him, and Jesus said, I will make you a fisher of men. Bring others with you. Look at this. Immediately, what Levi did, it says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and rat bags and people that he was friends with and others came and were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them. This is actually the ultimate moment of the book of Luke. This is the central moment. If you're looking for the diamond in the middle of Luke, this is the verse. It says, then Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come for the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I have not come for people who are holy. I've come for us. Thank goodness. How good is that? And that right there is the central plank of the book of Luke. I love how, as you read through the Gospels, and I've just finished reading them again, all four of them, and you see these characters called the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees get a fairly bad rap, would you agree? They're an interesting bunch of people, fairly sneering, and they seem to be the sort of guys. It reminds me a lot of Twitter. They're people who gather around just to poke fun and just to criticize. It's like AD Twitter, AD 30 Twitter. There's this sort of thing about the Pharisees. Now, and they're always mocking. They're always saying, you know, Jesus healed someone. They say, well, you shouldn't heal on a Sabbath. If Jesus said something, they said, oh, well, that's offensive to us. If Jesus did something else, he's like, they were always trying to trick him up with taxes. Well, how are you paying taxes? They were always trying to trick him up. It was like their main game. I think there was around about 6,000 Pharisees around at that period of time. And so it wasn't just like a small group. This was a significant bunch of blokes whose business seemed to be a busybody. They wanted to stick their nose in, and yet they always hovered around Jesus. They listened carefully to what Jesus was saying, but they never acted on it. They listened, but they didn't act on it. And why is that? Because they were more interested in their own issues than they were interested in hearing, in changing. I think the challenge for us today as believers is that we have to stay humble and be open to change. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus. Maybe today's your first day, or maybe today's your 1,000th or 10,000th day, and you think, I'm pretty good at this following Jesus thing. If we're not humble and open to change, or hungry for change. In my notes, I wrote down open, but I'm changing it. We've got to be hungry for change. Then we are in danger of becoming religious. We're in danger of being Pharisees. We're in danger of saying, well, this is the way I like it, and the way that I like it is the only way that it's done. I don't want to be the sort of person who believes in an all-knowing, all-conquering, omnipotent, omnipresent God who only does the things that I think he should. Heaven help us if we get to that point where we read the word and say, well, I disagree with that bit. I disagree with that, but therefore, you know, maybe I've got to contextualize, or I've got to get on and find a blog that also disagrees with it, and then I'll agree with the blog. I don't want to be that sort of person. If I'm going to believe in an omnipotent, omnipresent, all singing, all dancing God, then I've got to believe he is God and not me. Would you agree with that? Either he's God or I am. Humility and hunger to change. You ever been humble and hungry? Remember one time I was driving, and I'd been driving for hours, and I saw a bakery, and I pulled into the bakery, and I pulled in, and I'm thinking, man, there's gonna be a vanilla slice. Who loves a country vanilla slice? You tell me what I'm talking about. And maybe like a big sausage roll and lashings of tomato sauce, and let's get out of here. And I pulled in, and it was pretty quiet. It's kind of late afternoon, and I walked in there, and there's old Bev is, oh, it's always Bev in there. And Bev's in there, and she goes, oh, here you going, Dal? And she looks over at me, and I said, man, I'm starving. She goes, I got nothing. And she goes, oh, hang on, right at the back of the Bay Marie, you know, right, not a Bay Marie, you know what I'm talking about, the glass thing where they keep everything hot. There's like one dodgy little sausage roll. You know when the sausage rolls, they've kind of got the crusty brown bits on the end? You know that they were cooked, they were the first batch cooked at 6 a.m. this morning. It's now 4 in the afternoon. And she goes, oh, sorry, Dale, that's all I got. I says, I'll take it. I'll take it because I'm humble and I'm hungry. And I chewed on that all the way home. You know, we have to stay humble and hungry. Humble enough to say the way that I like things is just a way. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's just a way. It's not the bullseye. The way that I want things done is not necessarily the way that things should be done. The way that I want church is not necessarily the way that church goes. The way that I want, well, politics, I mean, we could get into that, but that's never going to happen. The way that I want Australia to go, or life to go, or my marriage to go, or every other way, it's just a way. I am not the keeper of all truth. Repeat that after me. I'm just going to do it for fun. I am not the keeper of all truth. So many of you just couldn't say it. I'm not the keeper of all truth. I don't hit bullseyes all the time. You know, when I was a kid, oh, there's a funny old scripture. What do we got? James 5. Luke 5, we'll do James 5. Okay, James 5. Let's go 16. James 5, 16. Can we throw that up? Thanks, David. James 5, therefore, confess your sins. Wow, this took an unexpected turn, didn't it? Oh, I wish you'd picked 17. That's a much better one. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, confess your sins, being humble enough to go to somebody, a life group leader, somebody in your faith community, and confess your sins is a powerful thing. It brings you out of having secrets with Satan. It brings you out of the dark and saying, hey, I need help with this. I need help with that. We need some help. Maybe for you, we need marriage counseling. We need help raising our kids. There are people here in church, and there are other people, great, amazing, God-loving people who will be able to help you when you confess. But as long as you keep it quiet, keep that mask on of, you know, hey, I'm hitting bullseyes, always hitting bullseyes in my life. As long as we keep that on, we will miss the mark. We will miss it. Confession for me, I've always found it weird. This idea of confess to someone else. I don't know if it's my old Catholic. Are there any fellow old Catholics here? Yeah. So you know what happens, you know, when you you'd go along and they'd say, hey, see that little box up the back of church? This is going to be new to some of you. Maybe you've seen it on movies, but little box up the back. And there's a bloke inside that box. Is there? There's a bloke in there. He's a priest. He's kind of a little bit like a small g god. And you go into the other side of the box. There's a little bit of a lattice there. And you've got to play this game that he doesn't know who you are and you don't know who he is. And then you confess your sins. And I'm thinking, I'm 10 years old. I don't really have any sins. Maybe. And I start thinking, I go, oh, gee, I did do that. Ooh, gee, ooh, crikey. Ooh, okay. So I remember going off into this box and I sit down in the box and I say the words, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Because I'd been taught that's what you've got to say. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And he goes, yes, okay. Have at me. As I say, well, I yelled at my sister. Mm-hmm. I pinched the Mars bar from the cupboard. Mm-hmm. I kicked someone in footy. Mm-hmm. That's it. And I always felt like I was disappointing him. Like he wanted some juicy stuff. And I'd sort of just hear this. And then he'd say these horrifying words to me, horrifying. He'd say, go, take a seat and say, do you know what it is? Five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys. And that was it. That was how I got rid of the sin. Five Our Fathers. Now, I was all right with Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. For those who kingdom, the power of the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd get through five of them and like, bang, that. I'd be like, I'm halfway there, God. And then got to the Hail Marys. And Hail Mary, I just never knew it. Anybody else? I bet you knew the Hail Mary. I bet you did. You're like 99 in your ATAR. You would have. So good at the Hail Mary. Oh, I was terrified because I was thinking, man, I'm not getting forgiven because I couldn't remember my Hail Marys. I'd go, Hail Mary, full of grace, pray for us now and in the time of our lives. Hold me in your arms. Don't let me go. Closer each day, home and away. Amen. And like I'd just fake it for about five minutes. I'd be, and I'd stand up and go, yeah, I'm all good, mate, I'm all good. I'm sin free. Always. And so if you forgive me today, I just feel as though there's some stuff on my chest because I never really felt as though I got rid of it. So is it okay if a pastor confesses this morning? Can we do some pastoral confession? Kids, just nudge your mum and say, this is where it gets good. Up the back, just put on a really good judgy face. If you could just get a judgy face for me, that'd be good. Okay. Not you, Anne. Don't judge me. So I'm going to do some confession. Okay, here we go. Here's confession number one. Number one is sometimes I take things for granted when it comes to the things of God. I just take it for granted. In all seriousness, sometimes I just slack off. And I wish that wasn't the case. And I wish that the bloke up on the microphone could tell you that, you know, killing it, doing it so well for Jesus. But sometimes I miss the mark. What about you? You know, it's interesting. Confession at first is almost a little bit more obvious because at first there's sins of commission, things that you commit. So like maybe when you first embraced Jesus, became a Christian, you know, your sins were kind of obvious. I was like, well, g'day Jesus, how you going? I got drunk last night and punched the cat. I mean, I almost did. I missed it by a whisker. I made that up. Like that? Write that down. That'll be a joke book forever. Yeah, you know, so your sins are kind of obvious. But then as you go on and sort of the weeks become months, become years, it stops being sins of commission and becomes more sins of omission, like things that you are omitting to do, like you're just missing the mark. It's not like you're doing lines of coke. You're maybe just drinking too much coke. You know what I'm talking about? Like maybe it's sins of things like, I mean, I got here overwork. It's missing the mark when it comes to work. It's not being focused on the things that God wants you focused on. It's neglecting your family. Have you ever told you a story? One time I was a young dude. I was working in an office and I was working on a Saturday. We weren't open on a Saturday, but I was in the office on a Saturday really trying to work. Just trying to get ahead, you know, career, trajectory. And I remember hearing the bell of the elevator ding. And I thought, you beauty, someone's going to see me working hard. And more than that, out came my immediate boss, the head of politics in the newspaper, Stephen Loxley. And out came Stephen, and he walked past me, like, looks at me and he walks into his office, and I'm going, you beauty, I have been noticed. And about three minutes later, Steve Loxley walks back out. I'm thinking, just me and Steve in the office working hard. He walks out with a bottle of wine. And as he walks past my office, as my little cubicle, he stops and he goes, go home. We will never thank you. And he walks off. You know, there needs to be a physical response to a spiritual revelation. At that moment of revelation, I turned off my computer. I went home. I never worked another Saturday again. There are moments where you just realize I'm not doing the right thing by my family. I'm not doing the right thing just to rest. I just need to go home. Bad diet, physical health, sin of omission, taking relationships for granted, taking your relationship with God for granted. Like if I woke up this morning and Anne was there, wherever you are, I've lost you again. Anne was there and she's going, good morning, handsome, lovable rogue, as she greets me every morning. And I said, morning, and I went, just commit. And then we're having breakfast and she's talking and all this sort of thing. And I don't say a word. It's just silence. And then I'm out the door and she goes, see you, darling. And I don't say anything. Yeah, you'd sort of think maybe there's an issue, wouldn't you? Like silence. And yet, full confession, there are times that I treat God like that. That there's just silence. The conversation goes quiet. It's a challenge for all of us. I hope it is, or else I'm just up here making a fool of myself. Confession number two. I better hurry up, eh? I'm going to skip that one. That one's too juicy. Confession number three. You can post my notes on Twitter later on. Confession number three. I try to appear more spiritual and well-rounded than I really am. Anyone the same? No one. Excellent. Thank you. I do. I really do. And I think that that's the interesting thing about, you know, when we look at Peter and we look at Levi, these are ordinary guys with ordinary struggles. You know, here's Peter in Luke chapter 5, right at the start, the very start. And his response is confession, instant confession. Forgive me, Jesus, I'm following passionately after you. And then we follow the life of Peter for the next 3 years. It's bumbles and stumbles and misunderstanding and misreading the situation and messing up and just falling on his face and then denying Jesus. And they're just making an absolute fool of himself. You know, the Bible is nothing if not honest about the foibles and failings of humankind. We mess up and we constantly want to make ourselves look better. It's like, you remember the ladies who ran to the tomb, the women who ran to the empty tomb, and they were going there to manage the situation. They weren't going there they didn't run there, they walked to the tomb just after Jesus had risen. They didn't know he was alive. They just went there to manage the situation, to put a bit of makeup on maybe the corpse, right? To smooth down Jesus' lovely locks. How good looking was Jesus in that video? Smooth down his lovely locks, put a bit of conditioner in, make him smell nice. You know, trying to manage the situation. That's the height of religion, isn't it? When we just put the makeup on, well, maybe not me, but, you know, put the makeup on and smooth down the lovely locks. And You know, we just try to make ourselves look better than we are rather than saying, Jesus, I am missing the mark. I desperately need you in my life. I don't want to just follow a set of rules. I don't want to just hit the mark because that's what I am told I should do. Jesus, I passionately want to follow you, the person of Jesus. Of course, the ladies discovered that the act of religion that they were going through had changed, like the whole game had changed because Jesus had risen from the grave. Incredible. You know, thanks, Matt, that was excellent, mate. It's almost like it doesn't matter how many times we try, we end up falling short of the glory of God. I think that's in the Bible. Doesn't matter how many times that would have been good. Ooh, come on, 180. Nope. Of course, 180 means turn around, repent. It doesn't matter how many times we try, we always kind of just fall short. And I think the incredible thing about the gospel story is that Jesus acknowledged it. You are going to fall short. The Pharisees tried to live by a set of rules, and that's why they were so hoity-toity, because they got kind of close sometimes. The Sadducees, the powerful political elite, were the same. The priests of the time, they were so done up tight, and they tithed to just down to that. They did everything that they possibly could to get as close as they could to living a righteous life. And Jesus says, it's still as filthy rags. You're not going to match up. And then Jesus came along, and at the tomb, when he rose from the grave, he turned things around. He did the 180, and he did this. He turned it around, and he said, bullseye. Now, Maddie, come on. Actually, Holly, come on. Put your hands together for Holly. Show him how it's done. Are you a dart man? Okay, all right. Well, that's even more powerful. Look at that. Bullseye. Jesus flipped it over and he said, do your best and I'll do the rest. Have your best shot at it. Now, don't slouch around being a bum, bumming off grace. He says, do your absolute best, but understand in your heart, you're going to hit a bullseye because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? How good is Jesus? It's not our rules. It's not a creed. It's not even a cause that I'm passionate about. It's Jesus that we need to follow. The person of Jesus. How do you do that today? Be humble and hungry. Humble and hungry. Acknowledge that, God, I am not the bee's knees. I haven't got this all together. I am going to mess up. But I know through you, Jesus, it's a bullseye. Can we close our eyes? You know, just as the keyboardist comes, I want to ask you a question this morning. Maybe you're in a place where you go, man, I have definitely been missing the mark. Well, so have I. And maybe this morning you say, oh, I've been missing the mark. I've been aiming for bullseyes. I've been doing my best. I've been trying to live a good life, trying to do the best that I can. But I just know that I'm falling short. We already explained that word, missing the mark, is sin. The sacrifice of Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, conquered sin once and for all. And like Peter and like Levi, all that we need to do is acknowledge that God is here with us, confess, and follow him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, every time we've missed the mark, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us most of our sins. No, all of our sins. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all we have to do is, like Peter and like Levi, be humble and hungry for change. Humble means acknowledging I haven't got this all together and that's okay. Hungry means I'm going to do something physical with a spiritual revelation. I'm not going to nod and say that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be at the end of church. I'm going to do something practical. Every eye closed, we're about to finish. But I would love to take a moment, 30 seconds, to pray with you. We won't pull you out the front or embarrass you, but I am looking for something physical, something practical, a response to a message coming from the heart of God to you that says, I love you. You don't need to measure up. You don't need to tick off all those things. Be humble now. Acknowledge that you need me. Ask for my forgiveness. And let's start walking this journey together. If that's you today, no one looking around, just me, I'm the only one. Quickly raise your hand in the air if you want to say, yes, great, there's hands. If you want to say, that's me, Jesus, hands, hands, hands. Brilliant, brilliant. Great decision, champion. Anybody else? Come on, there's a heap of hands. Yes, I see that. Thanks, sir. Good on you, champion. Yep, brilliant having kids here as well. So good. Who else is going to say, yep, good on you, mate? Jesus, I'm humble enough to acknowledge that I'm missing the mark. And I'm hungry enough. Good on you, champ. I'm hungry enough to do something about it. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Quickly, heaps of hands this morning. God's doing something. Good on you, legend. Beautiful. Good on you, buddy. I see that too. Who else? Come on. Last chance. Last chance for now. It's always a last chance in God, isn't there? Come on, he's about to flip the board over for you. He's going to flip the board over. It's all red. It's all bullseye from this point on. It won't be easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Thank you. Thank you. Up the hand. Thank you. Beautiful. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just going to hover here for a couple of seconds. Come on. Come on, that's you. You know. It's time for God to flip the board. Stop doing your best and let God do the rest. Excellent. Last chance. 3, 2. Oh, I see that. Wonderful. Yes, yes. Awesome. Brilliant. Okay. Let's pray this, everybody, in your big 180 voice, because there's some 180s about to happen. Some turnaround is about to take place right now. God's about to step into the situation, flip the board. It's all going to change. Won't be easy, but it's going to be awesome. Pray this after me. Heavenly Father, big voice, everyone here. Heavenly Father, thank you for changing the game. Thank you for Jesus' sacrifice. Thank you that when I do my best, you do the rest. Forgive me now for my sins, for missing the mark, and set my foot on a right path. I'm going to follow you, humble and hungry, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody with faith in their heart shouted, amen. Amen. All right, one last time. Give us a huge 180. 3, 2, 1. That's what's happened this morning. Fantastic. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Jesus.